Happy Easter, everybody. I hope you've all had a wonderful day today. Do you know, sometimes over the years, Rob and I have had students come and stay with us on just really short home stays together. You know, they just come for maybe about 2 or 3 weeks at a time from China and from Japan and a few different places. My mum and dad still do this, and they have lots come and stay with them at different times. And, you know, I was very curious one day, one of the girls on her mobile phone she had hanging off the corner, just a little cross hanging off the corner. And I said to her, I said, what do you think that cross means? What? Why have you got a cross hanging off the side of your phone when most of the time the students that come from China and Japan have never been to church before, and most of the time they've never even heard about Jesus or understood the concept of God and what we've spoken to them about? And you know, her comment was, it just looks nice. See, we see movie stars with tattoos on their arms of crosses. We see music people in their film clips, and they have got bling. And it's in the shape of a cross. They have these things in their life, and they have no understanding of the depth of what that cross actually represents. And do you know, the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians, it says in 1 Corinthians 1:18, but the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are headed for destruction. But for we who are being saved, it is the very power of God. What is it? The very power of? What is it to people in the world? It is foolish. It's all up there on the screen, everybody, okay? The message of the cross is foolishness to people who don't understand, who are not being saved. It's foolishness to them. And do you know, foolishness here, this word, it's like it's a ridiculous thought. It's a wildly mistaken, unfounded opinion and idea. The word translated in English here for foolishness properly can be understood actually to be like madness or insanity. The world says in its wisdom that the cross is a message of foolishness. The message that we have preached over this weekend, the message that we share with our friends, the content of that message to them, the very substance of our Christian foundation is absolute madness to people who are on their way to destruction. It is illogical to them. It's unreasonable. It's this crazy, foolish thing. It's insanity. It makes no sense to them, to those who are perishing. It's not just that the message possibly is a little off balance in their mind. It's not that it needs a little bit of polishing up, but it's absolute sheer madness for everything that it represents. How does humiliation, shame, and defeat for someone on a cross bring about salvation and freedom? What sort of an achievement is that? How can one man who lived over 2,000 years ago, whose blood was shed because he was violently beaten, make any difference to my life right here and now? To most people, that sounds so ridiculous. The natural mind fights against what the message of the cross is for each of us. How can it be that eternal life come out of physical death? It's ridiculous because death does not produce life. Defeat does not give us victory. Punishment does not lead to peace. This is the message of the cross that is foolishness to people. Let me tell you, this message, it's not geared to win friends and influence people. There are sharp edges on the gospel. There is blood, there is death, there is wrath, there is sin, there is greed, there is anger. And in Romans chapter 9, verse 32 and 33, it says, "They have stumbled over the stumbling stone. As it is written, behold, I am laying in Zion a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. And whoever believes in him will not be put to shame." So not only is the message to the world foolish, it is also a stone of stumbling. It is also a rock of offense to people. Proverbs 4:19 says to us, "But the way of the wicked is like the darkest," I can't even see my notes, it's like the darkest gloom, "and they don't know what makes them stumble." People live in darkness. When they are exposed to Jesus and his work at the cross, they stumble over him and they get offended. The message of the cross becomes the conscience of the world. The cross is an assault to people's pride. The Bible tells us in Ephesians 5:13, "But all things become visible when they are exposed by the light." And the Bible goes on to tell us, "Then Jesus again spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life." Through the cross, we suddenly see our sin. You've probably heard it many times over this Easter weekend that the Bible tells us in Romans 3:23, it says, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." Do you know, we can't take these things too lightly. Because even if we've been a Christian for a long time, we want to never forget that place where we have lived. The fact that all of us have sinned and we've all fallen short of the glory of God. People don't want the cross revealing their sin. So the cross becomes that stumbling block. It becomes foolish and it becomes offensive to them. The cross declares how desperate our condition is apart from Jesus. It reveals how deep sin goes in our life and how profound the rebellion is, because it's impossible for us to be saved apart from Jesus. We see in the cross the magnitude of the solution that Jesus provided for each of us in slaying his own son. It also shows us the magnitude of our own wickedness, frailty, and sinfulness. Yes, church, the gospel says you're more loved than you could ever have dreamed. But at the same time, it also says to us, we're more sinful than we could ever have imagined. From the cross, we see what we truly deserve. This message, though, it does not change as society changes. This message does not change with people's opinion as society goes on. The message of the cross always stays the same. It seems foolish. It trips people up and offends them. This foolish, though, and offensive news sets us up for the absolute great news of Jesus Christ for our life. To those perishing, he is the stone of stumbling. But to us who are being saved, the Bible tells us that he is a living stone in 1 Peter 4:12. In Acts 4:11, it says, "This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else. And there is no other name under heaven given by which man must be saved." To those perishing, he's the rock of offense. But to us who are being saved, the Bible tells us that he is the rock of salvation. Psalm 95 says, "Let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation." Some cast this living stone to the side. Some are too offended by that rock of salvation, not realizing that Jesus is the true foundation for their salvation and their life and where that truly can be built on. Humanity, church, they can betray him, they can desert him, they can deny him, they can mock him, spit on him, hit him with rods, push a crown of thorns upon his head, rip his beard out of his face, strip him, crucify him, and bury him. Isaiah tells us in 54, "Many will be shocked by him. His appearance will be so disfigured that he won't look like any other human man. His looks will be so disfigured that he'll hardly look like a human." The world, humans can do this to Jesus. But the Bible goes on to say, Jesus said himself in John 10:18, he said, "No one takes my life from me. I lay it down of my own free will." Jesus died willingly. Don't ever be confused by this point. Man did not take Jesus' life. He gave it willingly for each and every one of us. Matthew 26 says, this is Jesus, just before he goes, when he's in the Garden of Gethsemane, he says, "My soul is crushed with grief to the point of death." Why was his soul so crushed? It wasn't because of the pain that he had to endure. It wasn't the anticipation of the scourging or the horrible hours that he would be on the cross. It wasn't because he was so sorrowful or that he was so afraid of death. Actually, he was the master of it. What had him crying out in the garden that very day was the anticipation of being separated from his heavenly Father and carrying the weight of the sin of the world, neither of which had ever happened to him before that time. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says to us, "God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." The Father was laying on his Son the sins of all humanity there at that time. Jesus was taking onto himself the anger of God that was aimed at you and at me. Every evil and vile deed ever committed by humanity, past, present, and future, Jesus took it on himself right there and then. Every time I didn't want to forgive somebody, Jesus took it on himself right there. And then every lustful, immoral, and sexually impure action or thought that any of us have ever had, Jesus took it on himself right there at that time. For every act of adultery, every fornication, and every time that people have watched pornography, he took it upon himself right there at that time. Hateful words, bitterness held against other people, acts of occultism, for all of our lies and jealousy and the pride in our life, Jesus took it all right there at that very moment in time. And for this and more was being ascribed to the Son of God, to Jesus, as if he himself had done all of those things. He's a stone of stumbling to those who are perishing, but to us, he is a living stone that we can build our lives on. To some, he is a rock of offense, but to us, he becomes our rock of salvation, that we know we can build our lives here and eternity on a stable and solid ground. The message of the cross is such foolishness to our natural mind, but for us, it is the very power of God to transform us inside out and in every way possible. If you believe in the message of the cross, the living stone, the rock of our salvation, you can't lose. 1 Peter 2:6 says, "For this is contained in Scripture. Behold, I lay in Zion a choice stone, a precious cornerstone, and he who believes in him will not be disappointed." Jesus is our living stone. Jesus is our rock of salvation. And when we believe in him, we will not be disappointed. The stone's not faulty. If we build our life on that rock, it's not going to suddenly break to pieces when the storm comes and the difficulties of life are challenging us. But we want to stand on the truth of the stone, of the rock of our salvation, and we will not be disappointed. I love that. 1 Peter 2:6, in part of that it says, "And he who believes in him." Out of 1 Corinthians 1:18, at the beginning it says, "But we who are being saved," we who believe in him, and we who are being saved. The world cannot stop this message of the cross and make it lose power. It's part, I love this, in 1 Corinthians there, Paul's actually writing a letter to the church that he started in Corinth. And you know, he had to write them two letters, because that church was filled with totally messy people. There was carnality, sexual immorality. A man was sleeping with his father's wife. Abuse around communion. There was lawsuits with each other. There was fornication. Messy lives, people. Being saved. Some people think that when they accept Jesus into their life that they're going to become perfect overnight. But I think all of us would agree here in this place that we know that that's not true. That word "saved" there in that passage in 1 Corinthians means to be or become delivered from sin. He delivers me every day from sin. This is what Jesus does. We are being delivered. It's a process that God is delivering me from something every day. I am better today than what I was last year. I think, Lord, all the time, I see those things that God is doing in my life as I lean upon, as I rest upon, as I keep my focus on the rock of my salvation, on what the world sees as a foolish message, that I keep myself focused on the cross. And what I see is that God continues to deliver me year after year of things in my life where I need to be delivered, where I need that salvation. I'm not everything I'm going to be, but I'm not everything that I used to be. And he who believes in him, we are being saved. The message of the cross may be foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us, it is the power of God. The message of Jesus dying on the cross, being buried and raised from the dead is the very power of God for our everyday lives. Tonight, if I only talk about just Jesus on the cross, I'm actually only giving you half of the gospel message. I know that this morning, Pastor Jack brought a fantastic word and spoke about the resurrection and the proof of the resurrection. If you have doubt in your heart, go and get the podcast and listen to that word and see how history proves the resurrection of Jesus. Today is Resurrection Sunday. Tomorrow is Resurrection Monday. Tuesday is Resurrection Tuesday. Every day for us is a day to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And this is the place where we want to live our lives from. Romans chapter 8 says, Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Because we're able to celebrate not only that Jesus died for our sins and was buried, but also that he was resurrected, we can say together that the message of the cross for our lives is the very power of God. It changes us. It transforms us. It's this incredible message that some people think is foolish, that other people stumble over, that some are offended at. But when we humble ourselves, when we come before God and say, God, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that I've not lived the way that you've wanted me to live. I see that you've died on the cross, that you were buried, and that also you were resurrected. And all of us have a choice that we make every day in this. It says in 1 Peter 1:3, blessed is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. The message of the cross, it brings life from death. It brings freedom from curse. It brings holiness from sin. It brings release from chains. It brings light from darkness. In the resurrection, every sin, every fear, every worry, every grief, every anxiety and sorrow was swallowed up in the resurrection of Jesus. Colossians 2:15 says, God stripped the spiritual rulers and powers of their authority. With the cross, he won the victory and showed the world that they were powerless. Through the cross over our lives, every spiritual ruler, every demonic force, every power that's not from God has been stripped of all its authority because of the cross. In those dark places, church, in our lives, those places where we feel as though we can't breathe, the cross comes into that very place. and the breath of God can come over your life when fear is on your chest and that weight of the world is on your shoulders and you're burdened down. You feel as though everything is crashing around you. Jesus, He won the victory for you and for me by dying on the cross, by being buried and resurrecting from the dead. You can look again at the message of the cross and know that it is the very power of God for your salvation, for your healing, and for your deliverance. It's the place in that cross where every one of our griefs and sadness and sorrows can be lifted up to Him, because He took it all on the cross and He made a public spectacle of all of the authorities from the enemy that He defeated at that time. Remember, church, you're not going to be disappointed when you keep your eyes on the cross. When you see what Jesus accomplished for all of us there, you will not be disappointed. The message seems foolish to some. Others may stumble over it and others may get offended. But that very message is the power of God for our lives. Even though it seems foolish, even though it seems irrational, and it may not even seem like the right thing in your own natural mind, and people may laugh at you because of it, yet God says He's chosen the preaching of the cross to bring men to Himself. Church, I can testify today that once you have been to the cross and had that experience where God forgives your sin, where He lifts off every one of your burdens, when you have that experience for the first time, I say that you will not turn away from that experience. When you truly discover what it is that Jesus won for you at the cross through His death, burial and resurrection, there's no other life. There's no other life. I gave my heart to the Lord when I was 16 years old, and I've never turned back, because I keep myself all the time focused in on the work of the cross. Jesus, what You did for me at the cross, keeping myself on that path towards Jesus all the time. Church, I'm just going to ask everybody to close their eyes. And in this place tonight, I know that there will be people who don't know Jesus as their Savior, as their rock of salvation. They've not had, maybe you've not had your life built upon a stable and sure foundation. Jesus brought you here tonight for the very reason that you would hear a message that seems foolishness. He brought you here tonight because He loves you. He brought you here tonight because He so desperately desires to be in relationship with you. And He made the way for that to happen by sending Jesus to die on the cross for all of our sins. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to pray a prayer. And if you would like to give your life to God today, if you would like to ask Jesus to come and to forgive you of all of your sins, then as I pray out loud, you just in your mind pray that same prayer along with me. Jesus, I come to You tonight. I thank You that You died on the cross for my sins. And even though this message may seem foolishness in my natural mind, tonight I want to ask that You forgive me of my sin. Jesus, I thank You that Your love for me is so great that you desire to be in relationship with me so much that you paid the price for my sin to be able to have that relationship. And Jesus, now I can say, I am born again. I have a new life in you, that I believe in you, I will not be disappointed. I thank you for a new life, that Jesus, because you died on the cross and that you rose again, I can have new life in you. And I thank you for that tonight, in Jesus' mighty name. And just